Good morning.
สวัสดีค่ะ
means hello.
Yeah. So we are so happy to be here and to see Pastor John and Joy. Yeah, that's we so happy to be here. So and as we share this morning about Thailand and we would like to share again for those who doesn't hear yet Thailand is known as the land of smile. Yeah, Thailand is a beautiful place and it is low cost to live compared to America. For example, if you have $2 you can buy a good meal to eat, you know. Yeah, so it's very cheap. Yeah. People are friendly and easy going, and you will often hear it's okay. Even sometimes it's, the situation is not okay, but they still say it's okay, never mind. Yeah. Most people are Buddhist and many people live in fear of evil spirits and fear of not making enough money at temples or doing good works because they believe that it is the way to go to heaven. And Thailand is a very spiritual dark place. There are spirit houses in almost every house and almost every community. Buddhist people worship idols and many different gods or spirits, like a god of the water, god of the forest, and everything they think that's god. Yeah.
As I shared this morning, Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 7 says this, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness, and you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. Thailand is a country that has been enslaved to Buddhism, enslaved to Satan. Buddhism has been in Thailand for well over 2,000 years. It is the national religion of Thailand. There is no separation of church and state in Thailand. So Buddhism is taught in public schools. It is in every sphere of life. All the cultural practices are somehow geared to Buddhism. And so Thailand has been a hard place to do ministry for a long time. It's not a hard place to live. We have freedom of religion. It's a fairly developed country. So we can live fairly comfortably. So it's not hard in that way. It does take a long time to get there. But it's hard because the people are so resistant to the gospel. Not in a nasty way. They're very kind, as Gitdia said. It's a land of smiles. They're kind and friendly people, but they are just resistant to change. They don't see a need to change, so they're not looking for something new. And so the gospel has grown very, very slowly over the years. Thai people continue to resist in a different way. They will often want to just absorb whatever has been shared. So they'll say, Jesus, okay, sure, and Buddha. And they just will try to absorb everything. They are fine with contradictions. They are fine with putting a round peg in a square hole. It's not a problem for them whatsoever. And so it's very different mentality. And so sharing the gospel is a challenge there. But one of the things that we've realized is that the gospel often best presents itself and takes hold through relationships. It's through relationships that people have ears that can be opened to the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, it says this, we are not going too far in our boasting. This was just read, but I want to emphasize this a bit. We are not going too far in our boasting as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. What Paul is doing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is he's defending his ministry. He spent years in the city of Corinth. He planted the church, he helped the church to grow, but he left elders there in place, and he has gone on now to other places. He's writing from the city of Ephesus. He's writing to them, and he has to defend them because people have come in and are accusing him of doing things that are not becoming of a Christian or not what the gospel says that we should do, what God says we should do. And so Paul has to defend himself and saying, this is what I did. I didn't go where Christ had already been preached. I went where Christ was not known. I went to people that had no connection with the gospel. And for us in Thailand, that happened first in 1828 when Protestant missionaries first went to Thailand. And 101 years later, the CMA first went in 1929. So we're approaching 100 years of CMA mission activity in Thailand and 200 years of Protestant mission activity. And yet, we are less than 1% of the population of Thailand are believers. 70 million people in Thailand, and less than 1%. It's 0.7% as a whole. Most churches in Thailand are under 30 people. And so what we see in Thailand is what Paul was saying is the gospel had to go to Thailand to tell people about Jesus. We're still in that phase in many ways because so many people have never heard about Jesus. So we're still taking the gospel to those who've never heard. But Paul goes on in verse 15, and he says that he's taking the gospel, or he worked among the people. So Paul spent years in Corinth, and he shared the gospel. He discipled people. He raised up leaders. He raised up elders. He spent time strengthening the church. And that's very much where we're at right now with the church in Thailand, in mission work in Thailand. We're still going to those who've never heard the gospel, but we're still also reaching to those who have heard. We're working to strengthen the church so that the church can reach out to those who have never heard the gospel. So missionaries primarily are involved in leadership development and training. We talked about that a little bit this morning, in discipleship and in church planting. Now, there's other ways to do ministry, but that's the primary ways that we're doing ministry right now in Thailand, and we will tell you about some of those things as well in a little bit. Thailand is a place that is filled with darkness, but as I said before, what we see is the gospel tends to have more traction, tends to result in better fruit through relationships and through a long-term presence. We can't just go for a short time and come home. It takes a long time. One, because it takes a long time to develop those good relationships, that trust, so that they are willing to open their ears and their minds to consider something new. And it just takes a long time. We shared this morning about the ministry that we've been involved in, the Center for Leadership Development. And as we shared this morning, it's a ministry that is aimed at helping the local churches, local leaders of churches, to raise up the people within the churches to become leaders. The truth is that there's not enough pastors for all the churches in Thailand. And so there's many churches that will never have a pastor, a full-time pastor, who's been trained in a Bible school. And so what happened was a little over 20 years ago, some missionaries started this ministry, the Center for Leadership Development, to try to help that situation, to try to say, how can we empower local leaders in churches to raise up their people, to understand God's word, and to become leaders themselves? So we have this curriculum that started in English, and we've translated into Thai before we were ever involved with the ministry. But we've been involved in different ways. But it provides curriculum for folks to take back to the churches. They do lessons at home, and then they come together and they have discussion groups. And those people are involved in these groups. There's two levels to this program. The first level is for anybody in the church. It's for new believers or young believers, and it basically teaches them, what does it mean to be a Christian? And then the second level is for those who graduate from that first level and move on to the second and say, hey, we want to help the church, whether that's leading a Sunday school class or helping the youth or whatever it may be. And so they have opportunities to be involved in ministry in the local church as well. And so it gives them that opportunity to learn knowledge, but then to put it into practice.
For Mark, he lead a level 2 group, and I was one of his students in his group. It's what really is what a great opportunity for me to study the Bible deeply in Thai, because I am Thai and I have a American citizen too. And I also, for myself, I also lead a level 1 group at a local church in our city. Mark, when Mark was a regional, Mark was a regional coordinator, so he traveled and visited a group, CLD group, once every 3 months. Yeah, so he went to encourage the center leader how to be a good center leader, because a good center leader should not speak a lot, but should give an opportunity for the students to give opinions and discussion for their study. Okay, and then Mark was involved in training the leaders of the group. So when whoever want to be a center leader, Mark need to train them to be a good center leader along with other CLD team. Yeah. For me, I served in the area of curriculum development. I helped to edit and reformat the study books and the leaders' books so that everyone can understand very well. Yeah. When Mark served as our field director, I started working as a regional coordinator and to visit several CLD groups in our city. So I was so happy to see all of my previous students who graduated from level 1 and now they are studying CLD level 2.
One of the students in my group is a man by the name of Nung. Now Nung in Thai means one. Nung has a brother. Any guesses on what his name means? Song. Very good, John. And song means? Two. You guys are great. See, you know Thai already. Nung means one. His brother's song means two. Nung is a student in my group. He became a Christian in another area of Thailand, but he moved to our city of Udon because his mother and brother were there, and he was instrumental in leading both of them to faith in Jesus. He started studying in the CLD group that Git was a part of as well, and we shared a little bit last night about Kep, and she was one of the students in that group as well. Nung is a freelance videographer, photographer, so he travels all over Thailand making commercials and doing all kinds of stuff with that. God has blessed him in that, and it has been a wonderful thing. He's basically the breadwinner for his family, even though he's single. He's taking care of his family, extended family. There were many times when he was studying. Now, you remember, they would do lessons at home, and they'd come together at the church for a discussion group, but he's traveling all over the country. So there were many times where he'd be like, Mark, I can't make it back. And I said, that's okay, we'll work with you. We'll try to reschedule and make it work. And so we did that for a while. But when COVID hit, everything went haywire, as we all know. And he was at the time in another part of Thailand, and he couldn't get back, physically could not get back to where we were. We stopped studying for a while, and in the end, we ended up deciding to use Zoom, as so many people did. It ended up being a way for us to begin again, to start studying again. Not only was Nung in another province doing his work, and he tried to continue to do some work, But we shared last night about Kep, and she is somebody who suffered from blood cancer or leukemia, and her immune system was compromised. So it was better for her to be able to stay at home and to study online. And the other lady in our group was a new mom, and so she was able to stay home with her baby. And so, and then I, as this last year, I was field director, so I often would go down to Bangkok, and so I could continue to lead wherever I was. And so we concluded our studies on via Zoom, and so that was a way that enabled us to be able to move forward. Last October, there was a camp to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the ministry of CLD in Thailand. And Nung, being a photographer, we asked if he would be the photographer for the camp. So he graciously agreed, and he took pictures, and he did videos, he interviewed people, and people gave testimonies on the stage, and it was this wonderful celebration. Everybody who's wearing a blue shirt is either a previous student, previous leader, or a current leader. Not everybody who's one of those was there, but it was a good group that was there. Nung came up to me at the end of the camp, and he said, Mark, we were getting close to being done with our group, and he said, Mark, when I graduate, when we finish, can I lead a group? And I said, yeah, that's what we want to see. We want to see, like it was talked about in Sunday school, we want to see multiplication. We want to see not just pastors leading all the time, but people who graduate from the program becoming the leaders of new groups. So I encouraged him, yeah, when you graduate, you can go and be trained to do just like I've been doing with our group. And he was one of the students in our group that I just never thought would be a good leader. He's a great guy, just never thought he'd be a good leader. The other people in the group, I thought they could do a good job. But he said to me, Mark, God's really been talking to me through these testimonies of these people at this camp and really just saying, Nung, I want you to use this knowledge that you have to bless your church. Now, he's now attending a church in a faraway province because most of his work is down in that area, and his father is down there now. And so I really encouraged him, Nung, when the next training happens, you know, you should really go and be trained so you can lead a group in your own church. And so a little while, just before we left Thailand, our group graduated. And so you can see us there. Nung came up to me after the graduation and the ceremony and all those things, and he gave me a big bear hug, which you don't do in Thailand. And he started crying, which men don't do in Thailand. And he said to me, Mark, thank you for not giving up on me. He said, I never thought that I would finish. He said, I've already thrown away some of my books because I never thought I'd finish. So, hold on. Not done. And so so I said to him, you know, I said, I'm so glad that you graduated. I'm so excited for you, and continued to encourage him to attend the next training. And sure enough, the next training that happened, he was there, and he was being trained to be a leader of a group in his own church. Now, he's tried to start a group, and the people aren't yet ready for that, but he's persistent, and he's continuing to pray, and we're praying with him. And we're hoping that one day soon he'll be able to lead a group in his church to see people raised up.
So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord now. I'm excited, sorry. Nung has confidence to serve God, you know, and he shared the Bible to teach the Bible to his local church. He's one of the leaders in his local church, and he is a worship leader. And then he is making short videos of him teaching the Bible and sharing that with the church every day on social media.
Pastor John mentioned that that you watched a video of Thailand not too long ago, and that story was the story of Met Jan or Mrs. Jan. And so we want to share with you her story.
So Met Jan is my disciple, and I have been discipling her for 4 years. Her husband died a long time ago, and she lived with her daughter Kate and her Kate's husband, her daughter-in-law,
her son-in-law.
Yeah. She opened her heart and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior because she saw the change in the life of Kate and her son-in-law, Joe. One of the Bible verses that God taught me in the past and I have used to encourage her is Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I remind her that we are part of the kingdom of God, and we need to live with righteousness, peace, and joy always. Sometimes life is difficult and makes us sad or discouraged. We need to check how our heart and spiritual life is, because everything we do flows from our heart. We need to ask God to help us to live with righteousness, peace, and joy always. And we can ask Him for us to live this way every day too.
The night of February 1st, 2019, Joe, Metjan's son-in-law, suddenly died. And we were all shocked. Joe was a Gideon. He was somebody who was passionate about sharing the gospel with the lost. We shared last night that we were involved with a income generation project with Moringa. It's a tree. And Joe and Gate were a part of that. They served alongside us with that ministry and in the church. And so our families were becoming had become good friends, and Joe was becoming one of my best friends. We had actually dreamed, talking with Joe and Gate, about them coming to America this year with us, and visiting and sharing with you all here. So it was a devastating loss. Joe was just a couple months older than me, and God had really changed him. After Joe's death, his wife, Gate, went to Bangkok to work, but it really was to run away from her grief. And so she left her kids with her mother. So Metjan, the grandmother, is now raising 4 of the 5 kids. The oldest son went to live with other relatives in another village. Before Joe died, he would study the Bible with the pastor and on his own. And he took extensive notes. These are some of his notes. And he filled notebooks of all of his notes, studying the Bible. He's just hunger. He had a great hunger to know God's word. And one day before he ever died, he never knew he was sick. Before he ever died, he said to Metjan, his mother-in-law, he said, "Someday when I'm not here, you can use these notes to guide our family, to understand God's word and keep them in God's ways." And we thank God that even though Joe never had the opportunity to study in the Center for Leadership Development program, something he really wanted to do, his mother-in-law, Metjan, is now studying in a group that's led by one of our colleagues, and she is growing in her understanding of God and His Word.
Metjan had accepted Joe's death as God's will, and God had healed her heart completely. She's growing in her love to serve God and got more involved serving God in the local CMA church, including becoming the leader of the women's group in the past. Metjan is a hard worker and gifted in evangelism. She had led many people to Jesus. We thank God for Metjan and her family. She doesn't have an easy life, but she loves God very much, and God is using her to impact many other people in Thailand today.
Metjan and her 4 grandchildren attend the Udon Thani City Church, which is a place where John and Joy used to live, and we used to live as well before it was a church. It is now a church, and it's a church of about 30 to 40 people, and it's in the very booming city of Udon Thani, a city of 500,000 people. And as Git mentioned, Metjun is involved in church, and her gift in evangelism has been a really good fit because, like we mentioned, relationships are so key to sharing the gospel. And so in the Udon Thani City Church, they have had relationships of people who attend the church, and they have relations out in the villages. And they said, let's go out to these people that we know out in the villages. And so the first place that they went to was a village called Koknaklong. And it's actually a slum village. They're all squatters on public land. But there were believers in the church who said, we have relatives out in this village, and it's about 20 minutes outside of town. And so they said, let's go out there. And they started sharing the gospel through these relationships. And they started telling Bible stories like you see here. And they used picture books to tell the stories of the Bible. And a church was started in this village. A house church was started. They worship on Fridays out there. And now the church has caught this vision, and they are sharing the gospel in other villages where they have friends or they have family. And so not only is it the Koknaklong House Church, but there's Bakgao House Church, which is in one of the neighborhoods of the city that is meeting on a weekday. And then you have the Koksanga House Church, which is out in a village where CMA missionaries were martyred some 70 years ago. And one of the elders of the church is from that village, and they now have a group that meets out in that village weekly. And then there's the Nonsung House Church, which again is in another area outside of Udon. And there's more than this as well. And so we just thank God that a church of 30 to 40 people has said, we're not going to wait till we're 150 strong. We're going to start now, and we're going to go out to these people that we have connections with, these relatives of ours, and we're going to see what God's going to do. We're going to share the gospel, and we're going to see the doors that God opens. And so it's about these using these relationships to see multiplication in a very unreached area of the world. We would like to invite you to join us in praying for God's work in this part of the world. Two requests for Medjan and her family, that God would protect and strengthen her as she continues to, you saw the cart, her pushing a cart. It's how she makes a living. She pushes a cart around the village and sells vegetables and fruit to people in the villages, rain, shine, heat, or cold. Not cold like here, but so protecting her, giving her strength. And we'd ask that you'd pray for her daughter, Gate, who's pictured here, that God would heal her heart and that she would return home. Bangkok is a 9-hour drive away from where we live, and so she doesn't see her kids very often. So please pray that God would heal her heart and she would return to live with her children. And then also that these house churches would continue to not only multiply, but would continue to mature and become strong churches in this area. We also want to share with you another method of ministry. We've talked about leadership development. This is a form of church planting, but also the church, there's other church planting that's happening in Thailand. There's a saying in Thailand that is, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And this is a very common saying in Thailand, but it's also a very deeply felt reality for people. Because Thailand is Buddhist, because Buddhism is the national religion, and 95% of the people are Buddhist, in all of the practices of life, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a funeral, whether it's holiday celebrations, they're all tied to Buddhism. And so when somebody becomes a Christian, they feel like they're being ripped out of that identity. They feel like they're no longer Thai because they can't celebrate the holidays that everybody else celebrates. They can't go to they feel outside when they go to a wedding that's at the temple or a funeral that's at the temple or voting takes place at the temple or schools are at the temple. So all these things happen, and it makes it to become a reality that Christians often struggle to feel like they belong. that they are actually Thai. And so despite this reality, in the province neighboring ours, there is a community of believers, less than 1,000 Christians in the entire province, and there is a church there that we have been helping. The Nong Bua Lam Phu Thai CMA Church is a small church, and we've been helping in simple things like in teaching English on the weekends to kids, sometimes to adults. Git has been teaching junior church. I've been teaching adult Sunday school, and then I preach once a month at this church. The church is being led by Pastor Don. He is bivocational, so he is part-time with the church. His wife works as well to help support them, but they still have a heart for God. They still have a heart for this very unreached province in Thailand.
We conducted a financial training. We encouraged the church for Matthew 25:21 to be faithful with a few things. And the church realized that they needed to be faithful to send in their monthly contribution to the district, even if the offering was very small. Nong Bua Lam Phu Church is a small church, but we have seen God work in the lives of the people there.
The Nong Bua Lam Phu Church meets in this small rented house here. And they, about 3 years ago, started dreaming about having a place of their own, a place where they could feel like they belonged, a place of community. And so they started saving money, and they passed out piggy banks basically to everybody, and then the little video you see there, they broke them all open and started counting all the money that was saved. We joined them in that, and it was a great time to celebrate what they were getting excited about. And they've looked around at different pieces of property to buy, and they found this piece of property that is just kind of around the corner from the present location, and they are hoping that it will be available when they have the funds to purchase it. Pastor Don used to run an orphanage in that city, and some of those kids have grown up and are now working, and they have said to him, if you have land, we'll give you the materials to build. And the people in the church can build simple buildings pretty easily. So they're really looking at trying to find, trying to get the money to build, to buy this land so that they can build. However, last October, we went to church on Sunday morning, and on Monday morning, the church was flooded. It was tabletop high. Everything was ruined. Thankfully, not the projector. It was up on a stack of chairs. But everything else was ruined, or almost everything else was ruined. The good thing is that piece of land that they've identified did not flood. It's just high enough that it was not, it did not flood. Just this past week, they had a minor flood in that area again. It did not get to be this deep, but nonetheless, it's an issue. And so this is a church of 25 people, adults, I should say, and they have been sacrificially giving and saving money to make this dream of having a place to belong, a place where they can have community, a permanent place that can be their home. And praise God, so far they've raised over $3,000 or saved over $3,000. And so we have decided to join them in trying to make this dream become a reality. And so we have, through the graciousness of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, opened a project to try to raise $30,000 towards the purchase of this land. And it's an opportunity for us to not just buy a piece of land, but to participate in giving these people a place where they can belong, a place where they can feel Thai once again, a place where they can feel at home, and they can continue to reach out to this province that is about 0.3% Christian. And so it's about joining them in that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And we know that we give to God, and we know that we can do that joyously, whatever that is for. We thank God that God has provided through people here in America already towards the goal of 30,000, a little over 5,000 has been given so far. And so we thank God for all of what he is doing through his people. And we'd like to ask if you would seek God and how you may be involved in joining the Nongbulanpu Church as well. So whether that's praying for them, praying for the gospel to go forth, darkness to be pushed back, praying for God to lead people to that are generous, that have the ability to give, to do that, that's great. Or maybe you would join us in giving a one-time gift towards this church for them to have that reality of being a place of belonging for this church. We also want to share with you about some things that God is leading us as a field towards. This last year, I was the field director in Thailand, and some opportunities that God has put before us that you can be praying with us for. The first of these is the area of youth ministry. We just had a couple that finished language study this past month, and they're just now launching into ministry, and they have a heart and a call to youth ministry. And so they are just starting that right now. And so that's with local church, but we're also hoping to see this as a larger ministry as well, because we need to raise up that younger generation. And so this is something that we're launching into, but we need more of as well. Another area that is a ministry that is all around us, and you guys know this as well, is that of immigrants. Thailand is a free nation, and a fairly prosperous nation, so it attracts people from Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam and Burma and Malaysia. They come there because of the jobs. And so these people are all around us. The Thai Christian and Missionary Alliance, the national church there, has churches that worship in Burmese, in Vietnamese, and so we are joining with them in some of that and seeking how we can be involved in that even more. This past July, a year ago in July, I should say, we had our first deaf team from America come. So there's a deaf congregation in Salem, Oregon, and a deaf congregation in Omaha, Nebraska, and they brought a team together to Thailand, and they brought some interpreters with them as well, and they joined us. I was my first month of being a field director, and I got to give them an orientation, and were able to join them for a bit. And it was awesome, because a lot of times when short-term teams come, we translate all the time. But American Sign Language and Thai Sign Language are so closely related that they figured out a few vocabulary issues, and they were gone. And we just sat back and watched. And it was really cool, because not only are the Thai deaf a really unreached group within Thailand, worldwide they are as well, but it's just the openness that was there in this. This was a school that we went to, deaf school, and just the openness. And so even instead of learning English as a second language, they're learning American Sign Language as a second language. So we're just trying to lean into this and say, God, what are you doing? You know, I don't speak sign language. I've learned a few signs, and that's about it, but that's not where my calling is. But we're just trying to say, God, what do you want to do? Envision right now is looking at bringing somebody out to do ministry to the deaf in Bangkok, and we're just trying to say, God, what do you want? What do you want to do? Is this going to be a short-term thing? Is this going to be a long-term thing? Do we need to have some deaf folks come out, or hearing folks that come out that know American Sign Language, and we're just trying to say, God, what do you want? Another area that we're looking at is that of the upper class, and this is a new thing for us. Our son, Ephraim, attends an international Christian school in our city, and because of the level of education that it offers, it attracts the upper class in the Thai society. They want to send their kids there, and these are people that we've never, ever rubbed shoulders with. We've never been in their circles, but now that our kids are in the same classes, all of a sudden we're becoming friends with them. And so again, we're just saying, God, what do you want to do here? There's a segment of the population that is somewhat open, a little resistant, but at least they're interested, and they're really untouched. So we're just trying to lean into that as well and saying, God, what do you have for us? And so these are areas that you can be praying for God to guide us and what and how we should do ministry in the years moving forward. As we all know, Matthew 9, 37 and 38 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And the question that I have for you is, how is God calling you? God's calling all of us. The question is, how is he calling you? We can respond to his calling, whether that's to stay here, and that's perfectly fine, whether that's to go somewhere else in this country or to go overseas. The question is, how is God calling you? And we can respond to God's call by praying for those who have been sent. We can respond by giving financially to support those who are going. And of course, we can also go. And so the question I have for you is just simply seek God. And if God has you to stay here, awesome. You know, seek him in that and serve him in here in Mountaintop. If God is calling you to something else, be bold to seek him in that. Whether that's to give or to go or to pray, all of these things are necessary. We can't go unless people give. We can't go unless people pray, right? And so we all have to join together to be a part of what God is doing. And so we just want to encourage you to continue to seek him in that. We know that you are a giving and praying church. We want to encourage you to continue to seek how more we can be involved. And so, as I mentioned this morning, back on our table, we have a sign-up sheet there. If you would like to get our updates, we send them out digitally. We can mail them in the mail if you need that to be happen as well. You can read it on your phone if you want. You can open it on a computer. It doesn't matter. But we send those out every month. They'll have pictures. A lot of the people that you see, you'll get updates on those. Sometimes we send links to videos, and so you can see some glimpses of Thailand and updates on different folks. And then if you're into QR codes, here's some QR codes for you. If you don't like QR codes or you don't use them, we have information on the back table as well. But opportunities if you want to give to support us. So when you give to the Great Commission Fund, it supports all missionaries in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we are supported by that as well. If you want to give to us individually, you can do that. We have a goal to raise money for. There's information on the back table, a sheet with a green header on the top, how to support us. You can do that by phone. You can do that by check. You can do that online. There's all kinds of ways to do that. And then the land fund that we talked about as well, there's a sheet on the back table as well that has kind of an orange or brown header that lays out that same information for you. And it's just a way for you to say, if you want to give specifically, you can do that. If you want to give to the Great Commission Fund as a whole, that's great. We're benefiting from that as well as every other CMA missionary around the world. And so it's an opportunity that we just want to share with you. And we just want to say simply, thank you once again. It's been a joy to get to know you, some of you on Friday night, some of you last night, and then this today as well, and we'll enjoy conversation during lunch as well. It's been a joy to be here. As I mentioned, growing up in Western Pennsylvania, I was a quizzer. I came to this church as a young man one time that I remember, but it's been a long time. So it's a joy to be back, and it's just a blessing to us to see all of you and just the joy. And, of course, it's wonderful for us to see John and Joy, but it's a joy to see all of you. And just as you worship here, and we will be praying for you and the Lord's blessing on you all. We do have a gift that we would like to give you. So, John, if you could come up, please. We would like to give this just a little, okay. Just a little thank you. This is, as John and Joy well know, this is made out of a local cloth from Thailand. It's called a pakoma, and it's, I like to call pakoma the duct tape of Thailand. You use it for anything and everything. You can use it to tie around your waist as a belt. You can use it to hang up in the tree as shade. You can hang it up on two posts and have it as a baby hammock. I've seen people tie it to their motorcycle and tie it to a wagon in the back to drag it down the road. You can use it for anything. But we took it and we made it into this sign just to say thank you for all that you do for missions, all that you do to support CMA missions around the world. And hopefully this will remind you to pray for Thailand as well. So thank you.